Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, 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 look who's turned up, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Brighton were brilliant, Arsenal were befuddled, and QPR were besieged. Away we go! Hi, everyone. I realised that as I said that intro, you might think Jim's here. He's not. He's still in Edinburgh doing comedies.
I can't bastard wait to talk about QPR. So can we get this out of the way?
Would you talk about Brighton before that?
Yeah, I'll give them a mensch.
Have a McLaren dessert.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, that's what I'll do. McLaren can be the coffee and mints.
Yeah.
Afterwards.
We'll I imagine nice that you relax. Eat actual mints, though, rather than mints.
Do you want to go into the award room for Port and McLaren? I mean, Port and Cigar.
McLaren can be the coffee and mints. Two things I don't like.
But the thing is, Pete thinks I meant mints, as in, like, beef mints, like a load of
beef. I think that's more on Brandon.
For me? Yeah. I'm never more than half an hour away from a big bowl of beef mints.
Clip that.
Well, as you should be. Let's begin with the Premier League, shall we? Let's go to the South Coast. Brighton beat Manchester United 3-2. Mourinho said he didn't want the media to try and make him critical of his own players.
Does he need the media to do that?
Yeah.
Did anyone like pointedly go up and go, what do you think of Luke Shaw?
Yeah.
Like, was that what, like, all last season? What do you think of this person? What do you think of this person? No, he just came out and just slagged everyone off.
But we all know between now and the next game, he will say something.
Yeah, of course.
Because he won't be able to stop himself. But Brighton, the Amex was absolutely
pumping.
I love it down there. It's a great place to go and watch a game.
I was trying to take a picture of a man who was on the television in the stand blowing up a big balloon.
Was there? I didn't see it.
He was a man who was blowing up a big balloon. I was like, oh, God, yeah, has he got enough puff in his lungs for that?
And did he do it?
He managed it in the end, yeah.
Okay, and which shape? Did he turn it into a Jose Mourinho shape?
And Darren Bent scored a goal off it. So, depending on which reports you read, and I guess we'll talk about the game in a second.
But I thought Man United were poor, Luke.
They were poor, but depending on whichever angles you read, they're either in a little bit of...
disarray.
Yeah, or it's an absolute shit show.
Mm. Second one.
So some people... you're going second one. Yeah. Okay, so that's who you registered. But some people will say, oh, you know, Mourinho and Ed Woodward had a disagreement about players in the transfer window, and that's just how it goes. Mm. And other people are saying, they're an all-out war. And then there's talk that Woodward popped into the dressing room after the game. Now, I tried to do a bit of reading around that. I don't know why he did that. Mm. Was there any explanation that you saw?
I couldn't see any explanation. And it may well come out that
massage. What, the sports massage?
Yeah, exactly.
I think anyone who watched that match as a Manchester United fan probably would need a rub down after that.
Do you reckon he got like a tight calf being so angry with the performance?
Really clenched.
Maybe he wanted to see some fine torsos. I don't know.
Maybe
should do that in his spare
maybe
time.
He's also the kit assistant.
Maybe his hand is so tight across the Manchester United wallet that he's probably sprained his hand.
Carpal tunnel syndrome.
Yeah, he's gripped so tight, stopping any of that money coming out.
Hello, Ed, do you want to come in? Is it your wrist again? Yeah, it is. Yeah. Bless him.
He
looks a bit like a businessman Toby Jones.
Yeah. What was the joke that everybody used to say back in the day?
Why is Edward Woodward got four D's in his name? Because otherwise he'd be Ewa Woowa. That's the joke, isn't it? Is that the joke?
Yeah. That'll do.
Yeah.
I quite like that.
I think that sums up Man United's performance.
I was going to say,
they had no D, did they? They had no D.
Certainly not. They had no drive, no determination.
No.
Yeah.
No defending.
No defending, thank you. Mm. To make a hat trick there. They were piss poor. There's no two ways about it. And
every pass seemed to be a foot behind the player. I thought that's unhelpful at the best of times.
Wouldn't happen on De Bruyne's watch, would it?
Peter, I want the official line here. Is Mourinho a busted flush?
I think he's...
Because I know what Luke thinks to that.
regarded as being... I think,
I'm getting hammered on all counts for even saying the word Jose Mourinho these days because people think I'm obsessed with him.
That is because you keep singing that song.
Though. I am sort of quite obsessed with it.
I'm quite obsessed with the fact that how he can get away with treating his players in such a way, in such a public forum, repeatedly. And then also treating journalists quite badly as well, and yet still getting a lot of rope. Still getting a lot of rope.
Well, I mean, the amount of trophies you've won is going to give you a decent amount of rope. Mm. I know the longer we go on and all that kind of stuff, but should we also be giving some credit to Brighton?
Oh, don't worry, we'll do that.
Okay, right.
Because I'll move on to
sometimes we forget that, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
I really enjoyed Glenn Murray's finish. Glorious.
I'm glad. Okay, let's talk about that then, because the way he lost his marker and top striking.
Yeah, it was.
it was glorious.
Experience.
Yeah, love that. I, you know, on the pitch, Murray has been a great performer.
On the other hand, he is 34 years old. And,
I mean, you think so? What's wrong? What's your point there?
My point is that he's 3 years younger than me. You wonder whether these are the sort of games that Man United should be winning and the defensive unit should be able to marshal him fairly effectively. I mean, Murray was essentially playing up front on his own with Pascal Gross behind him, yet he was able to cause all sorts of problems. And I think that's a worry.
The first two goals when they went in, like, take it back to the manager, he was apoplectic. He couldn't believe what was going on.
Mm. Well, even the penalty which Gross took. Yeah. I mean, did he try and miss that?
Yeah.
It was the most nervy penalty you'll see.
He came very close to missing it, didn't he?
He sort of just sort of, I'll just sort of gently stroke this down the middle and say, oh, it went in, thank goodness for that.
But Pete, you've hit on something there, which is that you're talking about the passing. They seem to be, they also seem to be a half a sort of step behind Brighton for most of the game.
Yeah.
And Paul Pogba came out and said, you know, our attitude wasn't good enough and we need to do more. And I know Pogba's got this new role as captain and he's obviously on penalties as well. And he does seem to be taking more responsibility, doesn't he, Pogba, now? But you wonder whether that's going to be enough and whether everyone at United is enjoying the football very much. I know there are Man United fans out there who like Mourinho still and want to see him stay and all that kind of stuff. But it doesn't seem to be all very rosy in
every,
the garden.
In every 50-50 battle in that match, you were betting that Brighton were going to get the ball off that player. Every single time a Brighton player got near. Yeah. And they weren't necessarily like packing the box or anything like that. They were by the end, obviously. But like they... Every time there's 50-50 between two players, they were just taking the ball off Man United players, and it's like, that's just not good enough. If you look at the respective quality, they hassled and harried, and Manchester United did not like it up them. They were off their game. And that's not like, you know, you could say it like so many times, oh, Jose Mourinho isn't kicking the balls for them. You know, they should be able to pass the ball square. But when it permeates right throughout the whole squad, Martial didn't even take his chance. Martial was on the field for the first time in a little while because obviously Sanchez wasn't playing, and he didn't take his chance with both hands at all. He just looked listless as well. Listless, I think, is the way you'd sum it up. Just completely disinterested.
And in the second half as well, you're 3-1 down at half time. There was no reaction.
No,
I mean the penalty that was way at the end of the game. Mm. Very poor. And with Mourinho, we know that he's one of the most decorated coaches, of recent times. Certainly one of the best coaches of his generation.
He's decorated with frowns this season.
It would appear. Yeah. And with Mourinho, he likes complete control, as some managers do, especially in England over the years. It's more prevalent here, you could argue. when it goes wrong, it goes wrong. It permeates through everything. Mm. We've seen that before. I mean, this is, you know, the third season and all that kind of stuff. When it goes right, it permeates through the whole club. And it's going wrong. It is not. He's not having a good time. At no point during the summer was he at all positive. It was all doom and gloom. And the season has started just like many people thought it would because of the feeling around the club. And
what did you think of their performance against Leicester in the context of that then? Because Leicester looked okay as well.
They did. But it was a great win for Brighton. Really pleased for them. They're away to Liverpool next. Now, having lost their first game. Again, I know it's an obvious thing to say, you don't want to lose your first three games. You know, what a win that is. Because Liverpool away, that'll be very, very tough.
Oh, well, because Brighton's away form, away record is terrible in the Premier League. So it's really important for them to win their home games, obviously. Man United play Spurs at home next, I think. And we'll come on to Spurs in a while because we're at that game. But it's a tough old ask for them. The weird thing for
Mourinho is maybe that game... He can play the style he wants. He'll keep them very, very solid and try and nick something on the break.
And not be blamed for it sort of thing.
Well, because
Spurs are a good team.
So it wouldn't shock me if Man United went and got a result there. Mm. So,
who knows? But it's got to the point now, hasn't it, for Mourinho where, and I know we are part of this, but where, I wouldn't say like we're waiting for him to fail, but like when something goes wrong, it's almost like an outcome the Wolves, isn't it? Every time. And that's a hallmark of someone who's in trouble in his job.
It's because like that sort of thing takes such a long time to reverse. I can't remember the last time a manager came out of this where he's just upsetting everyone around him. It seems to be obvious that that's what's happening behind the scenes. The team don't seem to want to play for the man. And it just seems like that sort of problem, it never ends with a manager retaining his job ever. Yeah. I don't think. They always leave. They always have to leave.
And do you think it's because there's no real upside? Because when they win, they don't very often look good doing it.
Mm. Yeah.
So you think, it's not like, I mean, Manchester City, you go and put six past someone or you know, smash another.
I know what you mean.
It doesn't look that good even when they win.
Mm. Yeah, I think so. I think Paul Pogba's probably got a countdown somewhere quite visual as to when the other country's transfer window closes. So we shall see. Let's move on to Chelsea versus Arsenal. Mm. Very entertaining first half.
It's so weird,
perhaps,
wasn't it?
For all the wrong reasons. Well, not all the wrong reasons because there was four goals, but you know what I mean. Arsenal, I don't know what to think. If I was an Arsenal fan, they created a number of chances. So going forward, you know, if you can start, if they can start converting them. Mm. And they did score two goals, but very vulnerable at the back, but then showed character coming back into it. It was an odd one.
there's nothing wrong with Arsenal going forward, really. I mean, I take the point.
A bit more clinical, but yes.
They missed a few chances against Chelsea, but they're not short of talent going forward.
No.
So they're always going to be, I think long-term, they're always going to be good for a goal. And obviously, Emery's new in the job. So I was quite interested in what Ian Wright said, where he said, you know, I quite liked the way that certain passages of play, the way they approached the game, and the fact that Emery made the substitutions and was sort of quite decisive in doing that, something that Wenger obviously has been criticised for before him. Mm. And it also shows that Chelsea are a little bit vulnerable at the back, which is odd because they look quite strong in the fullback areas, but centre-back, they don't look that great. And I wonder if because of this change in formation, which is giving Conte a little bit more licence, whether they've not got as much protection in front of the centre-backs. Kante.
Sorry. I thought you were talking about the man who's gone.
He's not the manager anymore.
That's so right, yeah.
He wouldn't be able to do anything about it.
Indeed. Although he will try, probably.
He might have a say in it. But yeah, it was great for Arsenal to get back into the game. But then, of course, there was a minute where they were 1-0 down and they had an amazing chance, which was put over the bar by Aubameyang. And literally a minute later, Chelsea scored the second. And you thought, that is, if you're an Arsenal fan, you're thinking, yep. That's basically what happened
back
to
again.
Us.
But you wouldn't have, if you're an Arsenal fan or anybody else watching, you wouldn't have expected them to come back into the game at 2-2.
But at the points of the in the game where they were really good, they were really good, and the points of the game they were really bad. So it's like
absolutely
to have that capacity for such a swing.
Yeah,
it's like one of those places on Earth where it gets really hot but really cold in the winters.
Almaty in Kazakhstan, for example.
I was going to say.
Yakutsk, is that one?
Yeah, I think it's one. Okay. Minus 45 and plus 31.
What about Korea? Japan? They would, didn't they?
Maybe Sapporo. That probably got a bit of a swing into it.
Okay, right.
A lot of Central European countries as well.
Yeah, and the challenge that... Sorry to rest this back, Pete. But
it wasn't my choice.
It never is your choice, Peter.
The desert.
The challenge that Emery had is still the challenge he still has, which is essentially making them look better defensively. Mm-hmm. Now, Cech had a better game than he did against Manchester City. I think we'd agree on that. But the back four again for Arsenal against Chelsea were actually quite average. They're quite poor. So, I mean, he's got to solve some problems there as well. Socrates is having a real difficult time settling in, which you may expect, really, because they've played two good teams.
And let's not forget that.
Yeah, and so he may feel like he hasn't had a chance to get his feet under the table, and maybe that'll be better in long-term. Mustafi, again, not sure if there's any way back for him long-term, really, for Arsenal. So, yeah, there's still questions to be answered. But the positive is that going forward, they looked okay.
Guendouzi looks a player.
And he looks great, yeah. They were just a bit profligate. But other than that, they were okay. And it's going to get easier for them now, isn't it?
You would hope so, for Arsenal fans' sake. Mm. Not the TV.
So they've got West Ham and Cardiff next. So they need 6 points. But the thing is, they haven't got any sort of points that you would think, oh, that's a bonus.
Yeah.
But those first two games, bit of a free hit, new manager. You don't want to get pumped. But at the same time, if you could pick up a point, that would be a bonus. Now they've got pressure on themselves because they've really got to get 6 points these next two games.
Yeah, I just think that getting themselves back into the game and then losing from such a poor goal. The goal that was scored and subsequent chances, it was as if they were 5-0 down with a lot of second-string players, you know. So that will be very disappointing. But there are positives to take.
Emery really celebrated the equaliser.
He absolutely
pumped it. He was loving it.
He looks quite passionate.
I thought his suit was going to break.
We'd all like to see that.
Burst.
In Zidane style.
I think we can agree.
Zidane's trouser bursting was just the most spectacular thing I'd seen all that season.
If we put together the top 25 moments of football for the last 10 years, Pete.
Disrobing.
Did you have that in there?
Yeah, football and disrobing. It was just so exciting. And it happened twice in a row.
A wardrobe malfunction.
You said that like an alarm. Yeah. It was like he was wearing the stripper trousers that strippers wear.
Oh, yeah.
With the Velcro.
Bit of Magic Mike. Bit of Magic Zizou. Magic Zizou XXL.
Would it be in the top 25 along with that bloke brushing his teeth behind the...
That was a long-standing favourite for a little while. Yeah.
I wonder why we haven't seen him again.
Thrown out for bringing a toothbrush in.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Deadly weapon.
But sharpened it like a shank.
Which wouldn't be funny at all, of course. Let's go to Burnley versus... another win for Watford. Mm. To put three past Burnley at Turf Moor is no mean feat. And it was their first away goals in the Premier League since January. And what a way to do it. Andre Gray with a lovely one. Paul Ince said it could be goal of the season.
I think that was overstating the case. I think to be fair to Paul, that's over-egging the pudding. It's a great goal, and they linked up really well.
Why do you want egg in a pudding anyway?
It's an ingredient.
Yeah.
It's an ingredient.
Is that okay? Why do you want egg in a pudding? You've got to make it.
Why do you want tomato in a pizza? Well, it's just an ingredient.
But speaking of it, of spicy ingredients,
Troy Deeney.
Well, Will Hughes.
Oh, Will Hughes.
taking the immediate area to the side of the pitch in front of the dugouts, right down to the trenches.
Oh, my goodness.
That was, for me, I cannot believe the pundits were saying that wasn't a red card.
Was it more of a red card than Kennedy's for Newcastle?
Both equally red cards.
Was it Harry Arter for Cardiff as well in that game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a really tempestuous game.
I think Cardiff are going to lose a lot of players this season. I was surprised that it was the Newcastle player that went off, but then I realised where the player was, basically. McKee was on a terrible first half.
Will Hughes... I mean,
it was naughty,
very naughty.
And he scored naughty.
He scored essentially the decisive goal.
Lovely
as well.
Goal as well.
Yeah, it was a nice goal. Yeah,
you know. Yeah, I enjoyed Troy Deeney's finish when he went through, because that kind of outside of the boot with the right foot when you're coming onto it.
That pass
when you're Troy Deeney.
Yeah, exactly. It was delightful.
That pass from Decore.
Yeah, it was good.
That was absolutely beautiful.
I think Watford could well be in for a good season here. They've started well, and again, they're a side that I think your average football fan, and I don't want to do Watford a disservice, but I think that they're perhaps, with the exception of maybe one or two promoted sides, they're the side in the league where people sort of think, how do they play? What's their strategy? I don't know too much. I mentioned this the other week, so sorry to go on about it, but we've always said this with Watford and their previous, large loanies sort of system that they had. And
it's quite a transient club.
Exactly, but it seems to work. And two wins out of two.
I wouldn't profess to be an expert in it either, but one thing I would say is that he looks like Gracia's got the confidence to play Deeney and Gray up front together. Mm. And when they do that, they tend to play well. They look like they link up well. Mm. So maybe he'll stick with that. And I was going to say maybe he'll stick with that, particularly in the home games, but obviously they're away at Burnley. So that makes a difference. But Burnley look, I think, I'll be a bit worried for Burnley if I were a fan.
I mean, they're playing. They've not got a deep squad to be doing what they're doing in Europe. I mean, I don't think the Thursday Thursday, Sunday match really worked for
them. They play their final preliminary qualifying round this week, don't they? Olympiacos.
Olympiacos.
I don't know. The thing is, it's a really difficult situation because if you're a Burnley fan, you want to see them in Europe. It's amazing. Of course, I've seen my club in Europe. They're not a traditionally big club. They don't go in Europe very often, if at all ever. And it's an amazing thing.
Even Pete's seen his club in Europe.
He has.
Many times. Beating the likes of Barcelona.
Champions League and all sorts, Peter. but for Burnley, of course, they really, I imagine they desperately want to stay in the Premier League as well. So it's a difficult thing to balance. And they're not a team who score, as we all know, score hardly any goals at all. So the pressure is always on their defending. And if you're going to concede a few goals at home, it's curtains, essentially. There's no way Burnley are going to score enough.
And it's frustrating. I know sometimes when we talk about it's a long away trip, the likes of Turkey and Greece, and really it's just another couple of hours on an aeroplane. But still, there is a sort of psychological thing they could have done without having to go all the way down to...
Well, they wouldn't be. They wouldn't be playing a game on Thursday. It's as simple as that. If it wasn't for this, they wouldn't be playing a game. Yeah.
Sure, but I mean, the draw could have been that, you know, they could have played a team a little bit closer to old Blighty. But I suppose for Burnley, having such a great season last year, they qualified for the Europa League. I think they've got to give it all, their all. I'm not suggesting you're saying the opposite, but I don't think they should do. Was it Stoke under Pulis when they went away to Valencia and he just fielded a very poor side?
I don't remember that one. I'm pretty sure it was
Pulis. Forgive me.
If they're still in Europe by the time the next transfer window comes around, they're going to spend big. I think they're really going to speculate.
But they'll be in the Europa League proper if they can get through this tie. And I just think for the season they have, don't get me wrong, Burnley love being in the Premier League. I don't think trying to get into the Europa League will jeopardise that long term. He's got his system, he's got his players, and the manager's there. It's a settled club, and they've added one or two faces. I just think, what can Burnley realistically hope for? Getting into the Europa League would be absolutely enormous for them. And I think they've really got to do that. Instead of thinking, do you know what, actually... We'll just kind of recoup and we'll do what we normally do.
The problem is they've had quite a soft start, really, because they play the only team they'll play that a traditional difficult team in the first sort of month or two of the season, I think, is Manchester United at home. Other than that, all their games, I mean, look at the games they've got: Fulham away, Wolves away, Bournemouth at home, Cardiff away, Huddersfield at home, and then towards the end of October they play Man City. So that it's important for them to get off to a good start, and they haven't done that so far.
But they've got a chance there with those fixtures, as you say.
Yeah.
So there we are. All right, ladies and gentlemen, after the break, we're going to talk about Tottenham Hotspur and QPR. See you in a moment.
Maybach, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's Amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
We'll be right back. because I'm good at what I do in the football world. And you can't pull the wool over my eyes. Not now, Richard.
Richard!
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 That was Sam on BN talking shit. As did Dennis Wise. Mike Ashley's got his boys out in force.
The ironically named Dennis Wise. Now then, let's have some emails with PED.
Let's have some emails with PED. Hello to the wonderful, who have we got here? Alex Robinson. Long-time listener, first-time emailer, enjoying the show. I even pay for the additional bonus material knocked together on the 29th of each month. Rude. Says, well worth the dollars. Everyone should pay for the Acast subscription. It's a cheeky plug to try and ensure you read my message out. Basically,
all right, thanks for your email, wasn't it?
Anyway, I just saw this in my own house and I was shocked. The things people use bananas for.
Oh.
And basically, it's attached a picture of a banana with some hair ties around it.
Oh, this is presumably
I put a watch, put my watch around a banana in a bit of impromptu silliness in the last show.
You need to be careful with this particular train of thought.
The things people use bananas for.
Axel Foley.
Short the foot by ramble.com.
Axel Foley.
Yeah, stick it in the tailpipe.
We've all got tailpipes. Yeah. Hello to Ahmed Nada. Hello, Ramblers. This has nothing to do with anything at all, but I thought it'd amuse you guys that the Egyptian Premier League has been getting injections of cash, not from oil, but from drink and contracting companies. The Stars of the Future FC by Pepsi, FC Coca-Cola in the lower leagues, and a team looking for promotion, the Cairo National Bankers.
Wow.
Which sounds like a wonderful euphemism.
Sounds like rhyme and slang.
Speaking of sponsors, did you see, I think it was in the Mexican League, the chap doing a press conference,
yeah,
and all the products just sat in front
of him.
Like granola and all sorts of things.
It's happening to get chowed down.
Back in the golden days of Soccer Saturday when they used to, possibly they still do, but they used to cover the Welsh League. They probably still do.
They do the updates.
And sometimes when there was a particular goal, Jeff Stelling would always go, and they'll be dancing on the streets of Total Network Solutions tonight, which is always very enjoyable.
Some of the other teams include the Assiut Cementers, the Nag Hammadi Aluminium, and the police. Personal favourite of Ahmed is the Bani Suef's telephones.
Wow. That's nice, yeah.
The telephone. What are the telephones?
Wow.
Where are they meant to call?
Great.
Leave your calling card. Yeah. Okay, taking the 3 points. If it is a 3-point system, I haven't checked the Egyptian league.
It probably is.
Well, go and check while I read this email out. Jonah Clark, Leicester versus Wolves. Mike Dean plays a lovely advantage. Arms wide open, running forward, and Madison sticks the ball in. You can tell he's absolutely chuffed with himself.
Oh, that's the textbook Mike Dean power move. The top two Mike Dean power moves are that one, and sometimes he gives it the old celebration if he plays an advantage.
How many assists has Deeney got?
Oh, he's got a few. And his other power move is the enthusiastic denial of a penalty.
Yeah, that's my favourite. Actually, no, my favourite would be, it could be a penalty, but usually it's a free kick, something soft, and he'll just shake his head as if, go away.
Finally for now, Nick Phipps. Hello, Nick. Hello, Ramblers. Sat watching the Man City demolition of the Terriers. And I'm struck by the fact that all three City subs coming on have been left-footers, Mahrez, Foden and Sane. Added to the already left-pegged ones of Edison, Davy Silva, with a goal kick assist and a free kick peach each, Mendy, first-time cross animal, plus the relatively quiet lefties, Laporte and Bernie Silva. I'm wondering if there's ever been a more dominantly lopsided hammering or even game.
I'm really bad at knowing what players, what foot.
Yeah.
But I take that point.
Because I watch from mirrors sometimes.
Yeah. In the
sports bars.
Which foot did Davos Suke use?
That was his right foot, wasn't it?
You've been serious? You did well there. You fooled me. You threw it back in my face.
Pull the wool off of my eyes. If you want to get in touch with the show, as always, shortthefootballramble.com.
And those of you who are crying out for a Fort William FC update, stick around to the end. Because Pete will not read the emails.
Not doing them.
He will not do them. We were at Wembley to see Fulham nearly get a point against Spurs. How I'd frame it, but of course that would be slightly misleading. Tottenham won 3-1. Fulham did give Spurs a little scare. Mitrovic scored. Can we call it a diving header, Peter?
I thought he had to do a lot from where he was. I know he's point blank range, but I've seen Mitrovic put those right into the keeper's hands, and he's a decent keeper, and I think putting it in the roof of the net was actually quite canny from him. Admittedly, he was right in front of the goal.
Improvisation.
No,
Spurs obviously were very, very good in the first half.
Missed a fair few chances.
Exactly.
They were quite profligate.
Yeah, they appeared to be a little bit, which you could understand because of they had a truncated pre-season because a lot of their players were away at the World Cup quite late. They appeared to be a little bit rusty, like the final ball or the finish. It wasn't quite there until Moura stepped up, who for me was man of the match, by the way, stepped up and scored that lovely one. And then Fulham flew out the blocks after half-time, didn't they? And it's the encouraging thing for Fulham fans for this season so far will be that in spells they've looked very good. Now, if they can put that together for a whole game, work out how they're going to approach playing big teams away from home, because they weren't really in the game in the first 40 minutes, were they, at the weekend?
I mean, you're right. They did. Sessegnon had a chance and Kearney had an effort. So they've still created a small amount, but you are right. Defensively, and trying to, when they play teams who don't let them pass out from the back, you know, the way, you know, the goalkeeper from goal kicks wants to play it, you know, to either when the defenders split the box, if you like. Whereas Spurs, you know, just pushed up and put the pressure on them. Fulham found it difficult to pass away. When Fulham were given a chance, so teams will look at Fulham and think, right, we can't let them play. But if Fulham can find a way of playing and being a little bit more solid when they need to, yeah, there was a few chances that they snuffed out from Spurs, but Spurs could have had five or six. But you could also argue, you know, Fulham could have had maybe two or three. Now, you know, to lose 6-3 would still be a hammering, you know. But the point is that Fulham need to get better. But as you say, Luke, there's encouraging signs there.
For me, the team that Jokanović picked, I thought was quite odd. I just don't think there was enough in there, enough about them. I mean,
enough steel.
He kept McDonald on the bench, didn't use him at all. I understand he wanted to give Anguissa a debut for him?
I think so.
Possibly. I don't think he played against Palace. I don't think Kearney gives you anything really off the ball in the middle of the pitch. So that's a gamble, really, especially away from home. He's great on the ball. He's a great little football player. He's a great technician. Mm-hmm. I like him on the ball, but without the ball, not sure. Seri's good, but he can't do it all on his own. I think he's going to have an adjustment period. I don't particularly rate Kamara, who didn't do much on it and then came off. You wonder whether Chambers is strong enough at centre-back for a whole Premier League season. Fossey meant to play it right back against a decent team. Yeah. All these question marks.
Well, I mean, Dennis Adoy is still suspended for Fulham.
But is he Premier League quality?
Well, I was about to...
And also reacting to obvious, positionally, like, they just let Trippier have the ball all the time. He was right on the right hand side. He just hugged the touchline and nobody bothered tracking him.
What Spurs do really well when they've got the ball is they bomb right out wide.
That's right.
So you'll see Trippier hugging the touchline or Rose or whoever it's doing the same.
He didn't need to be that quick though. They just weren't looking. And every time he was there, and every time he got he received the pass, it was insanity.
It's nice to see Trippier continuing his fine form.
Lovely
from the World
kick.
Cup. Oh, what a free kick that was.
That was a real 1-2 that killed the game, basically, because then Kane popped up a couple of minutes later and scored a lovely finish. And that was the end of the game. But it was a beautiful free kick.
It looked like Kane was not going to get on the score sheet at all, even though this is probably his best chance, you'd argue, in the first few matches they've got. But he, to get his August goal that he's been wanting for the last couple of seasons.
He's done it.
He's finally got it.
He might fill his boots at Old Trafford, mate.
True.
You never know.
Blimey, yeah. But Fulham, they're at home to Burnley next, I believe.
Mm. Well, they've got to keep the faith. They've got to not lose heart, because against Palace, they knocked on the door over and over and over again, and it didn't happen for them. Doesn't mean it won't happen against Burnley. They're capable of beating Burnley, but their season needs to get cracking, really. I just think it's easy with hindsight and obviously from the sidelines. I think the team he picked against Spurs was, for me, the wrong team. They need to be more robust. They can't just completely doggedly and dogmatically stick to their ideals of playing lovely football, because it's very unforgiving in the top flight now.
It certainly is. Speaking of which, West Ham. Oh, dear.
Are their fans going to be forgiving?
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Go on, Peter.
If you watch it, first half, they were good. They controlled the match, but they didn't really create that many chances. Second half was an abhorrent display. A truly abhorrent display.
Was an insult to all that is holy.
At home. Yeah. Oy, oy, oy. Dreadful.
The funny thing is, though, is...
You're not going to talk about this Callum Wilson guy, are you? Because that was an absolute shambles.
Wilson for England.
That was the worst defending of the weekend, with the greatest respect to QPR, who we'll come on to in a minute.
Is Callum Wilson knocking on England's door?
Well,
don't we know still?
But it's almost like, if he is knocking on the door, the sort of the barriers he's had in the way to that door have mostly been West Ham defenders on the floor and goalkeepers not saving P-rolling shots. So, I mean, if that's what it takes to get you that journey through to the England, to Gareth Southgate's office door, then good for you. I've got no beef with Callum Wilson. I hope he goes and plays well for England,
you,
or whatever.
Are you penalising him for finding a shortcut to that door?
I'm not penalising him at all. All I'm saying is, nipping in and out of dusty bluebells, having a lovely old time, an hour into a Premier League game away from home. The blame for that lies firmly at the door of people like Pablo Zabaleta, whose legs have gone 18 months ago.
Yep.
And I was, shall I say, I mean, at best surprised, at worst just damn confused about how the goalkeeper interpreted his role for that particular shot, which was going about 4 miles an hour and managed to get through his legs. It's the sort of thing that when Pete plays for his Sunday team and the keeper doesn't turn up, Pete's a good egg, so he'll volunteer to go in goal.
Yes. Yes.
And you would have saved that, Pete.
Thanks, mate.
No worries, you would have.
I'll be honest with you, I thought you were going to come off worse in that story.
Yeah, no, I know. Surprised, actually.
Oh, you let a lot of other ones in because some of them are too high for you.
There we go. And it's 5-a-side.
But the thing about the West Ham should have remembered, and maybe they did, they just couldn't do anything about it. Bournemouth are great when they go a goal behind. They don't lose heart at all. They've got a great spirit.
That impressive stat that they had on Match of the Day and so on was Bournemouth gained 19 points from losing positions in the Premier League in 2018, 7 more than any other side. Oh. It shows the team spirit, Pete Donaldson.
You can't,
that man, Eddie Howe. Eddie Howe.
Edward. And I mean, would you be concerned about West Ham, Marcus, based on what you've seen?
Enormously.
Yeah.
Pellegrini said that he was disappointed that so many fans left before the end. Mm. And I thought, don't put any focus on the fans.
Don't do that. But they've been through enough.
I sort of understand his opinion on that in isolation.
Mm.
But in the context of what happened, in the context of what has happened at that club and that stadium in the last sort of 6 months or whatever, I don't think turning the attention to the fans is a good idea.
No, but do you think the fans, for their part, perhaps understandably, are just looking for any excuse to get annoyed again because of the way they feel like they've been treated?
Oh, maybe, but the fans have been mistreated. This is the thing. Yeah. This is not going to go away. Even if West Ham started winning games and they had a great season, finished, I don't know, seventh maybe, still not going to go away. The things have still happened.
Yeah.
Obviously, that does appease you somewhat because ultimately, as a football fan, you're there to watch your club play football and you want them to do it in the best possible way. And if they can do that in the best possible way and start getting performances and start winning games and start giving people some moments where they might remember it in years to come, yes, that may well appease people. And people may well sort of come around and think, you know what, this is, we've had to take a lot of crap here, but at least there's a little something to watch. That's not happening.
I understand that. I think that's probably fair. I mean, from Pellegrini's point of view, I mean, he's a new manager in the job. He's trying to sort of get cracking with a clean slate. He's brought a lot of players in. And I think if you're the manager who has nothing to do with what's happened in the past at West Ham because you've only just taken the job and your team are 2-1 down, but hopefully, I mean, I didn't see the entirety of the game, so I don't know, but hopefully fighting to get something out of the game and all the fans are leaving. When you're still in the game, it's not like they're 5-0 down.
Yeah, right.
It's a little bit disheartening from the manager's point of view. But this game was like a straight 4-4-2 versus a 4-4-2 from what I saw. And Wilshere and Noble in the middle. I mean, Wilshere needs to come up to speed fast.
Oh, yeah.
Because Mark Noble's not an improving player.
No.
He's been a great servant to West Ham. And I actually quite like him. I liked him 3 or 4 years ago. And I thought he was unlucky not to get a call up for England because he's just a very solid midfield player on his day. He's not that player now. He's not getting better. Jack Wilshere is the guy who's got a fresh start, got a new club, appears to be fit. He needs to come up to speed because, admittedly, of course, you're relying on players like Chicharito, Arnautovic and Snodgrass around the central midfield area to drop it and help out. Perhaps they could have done
it's
more.
It's quite attacking, though.
It is. And I think they need to do more because a game at home to Bournemouth, with the greatest respect to those cherries, you'd be hoping to pop those cherries at home particularly, and they weren't able to do that. Well, they'd be hoping to win that game, Pete. It's a winnable game for them.
It's a winnable game, Pete Donaldson. And you, of all people,
should know that.
Cannot deny that at all. Are we ready to go to the Championship?
Yes.
Let's start with the team we used to call WBA, West Brom. They beat QPR 7-1. Steve McClaren was left shocked and angry.
I know it seems obvious to say they conceded 7 actual goals, but wow.
Yeah.
I mean, wow. That defending for the final 3 or 4 goals was unreal.
It's interesting when you watch the highlights back because, of course, Lynch did equalise for QPR on 34 minutes.
How little they knew.
And then, of course, they then got lynched in the second half. It was 6 goals in that second half for West Brom. And West Brom, under Darren Moore,
have started the season amazingly well.
Well, they have, yeah. I mean,
Three wins.
Yeah, they've been very good.
Haven't they got 2 wins in the draw?
One in the cup.
No, 2 wins in the draw. Oh, 3 wins. Okay, one in the cup. Yeah. Okay, fine. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Because even the draw, you know, they felt that they could have maybe had something more. But they... Well, the way they've started, you would think, my goodness, they could they could come back up. You know, there's a lot of competition up the top of the league, of course. I mean, Leeds made it 3 wins out of 3. They're looking good. But, I mean, it's the post-December time for Leeds, you know, when they all sort of go, this is tiring and Beals is getting on our nerves.
They'll be knackered. But I guess they'll try and cross that bridge when they come to it and rack up as many points as they can. But on the QPR thing,
yeah,
I don't want to sort of stick the boot in at QPR because the fans have had a very difficult time. There's been issues with transfer bans. To me, it was a wrong decision to get rid of Ian Holloway, who seemed to have figured out his team and just got them playing and did very well to keep them up last season. And you know, QPR fans are welcome to get in touch with me if they think I'm talking nonsense here, but I think that was a poor decision to get rid of him and bring Steve McClaren in. I don't think Steve McClaren's done anywhere near enough in the recent past to show that he deserves a job of that size. And while QPR have got problems with personnel, they've got one or two young players coming through, haven't they? That boy Easy is someone they've got their eye on. Hopefully, will improve a lot over the coming years, and he can be a player they can really get behind. But they've got no goal scorer, and they've got no real options. But what the fans should be able to expect is for the players to actually battle and try really hard, because it's no disgrace to lose 2-1 or whatever, or 3-1 even away from home against West Brom, who came down from the Premier League last season. But the way they piled in the last 15, 20 minutes in that game was disgraceful.
Well, that's what McLaren
said. It was absolutely disgraceful.
Yeah,
six second half goals.
Yeah, I mean, the thing for in the same way that people, you know, I enjoy watching like mad stuff that doesn't happen very often. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed watching it because it was like, what is happening here?
But QPR
are a great club, and I feel bad for them. I feel bad for that result for them.
Yeah, but conversely, I feel really good for Darren Moore because I think we've all agreed.
But he doesn't need seven, does he?
He doesn't need seven.
He just has three. He'll take the win and move on, whatever happens.
Yeah, that's true. But
he just seems to have gotten firing, and that's what I like about it. Compare him to, you know, Pardew and Pulis and all those kind of like managers that have just, in the past, just made them look really stodgy.
Yeah.
He's got attacking partnerships all over that pitch. It's brilliant.
I think there's a lot of, well, certainly in this room, but I'm sure other people's goodwill towards Darren Moore.
Yeah.
Definitely. And
West seems like a decent chap. He knows the club well and he's getting them going.
But Steve McClaren looked about 80. In his tactics, in his face, he just looked so past it.
Yeah. But he was playing Herbert Chapman's WN. That's how old fashioned. But you know, let's get this right.
Yeah.
West Brom have got far better players. I mean, look at the players they've got on that team. Gale, Rodriguez, Livermore, Brunt, Phillips, Gibbs.
Bitcoin's Hal Robson-Kanu.
Yeah. Bitcoin's Hal, who's on loan at West Brom from Bitcoin. He's on loan from blockchain. But that doesn't matter.
Now you sound about 80.
I don't understand any of it. But that doesn't matter. The point is, they're both in the same division, and these teams should be battling. Mm. And like you said, Marcus, they brought themselves level midway through the first half or whenever it was.
Yeah.
There's no excuse to pile in like that. I feel sorry for the fans that travelled there and they've got a game tomorrow night, I believe, against Bristol City, and they've got to put it right.
Yeah.
Bristol City have had a difficult start, so there's a chance for them there to do something, but they need a reaction. If they don't get a reaction tomorrow night, McLaren won't be long for this club either.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a lot at stake.
It's true. And if West Brom do grow up.
No,
sorry.
Grow up. Grow up. Grow
don't
up.
Score seven. Don't kick someone while
they're down. Stop being petty. Grow up. Take your 2-1 win and move on. Don't knacker yourself out.
If they do go up, then
we
don't look forward to the inevitability of Darren Moore getting them into the division and then immediately being sacked and then replaced by Paolo Di Canio.
Who would it be?
No, it would be Pardew.
It'll be the Newcastle model. It'll be Pardew. It'll be in.
No, because Pardew's been there.
He's been there, mate.
Yeah.
He's been there. Let's just say it's taken a while to wash that stink away.
And that stink is Blue Stratos.
Yeah. I'm glad.
When you get Pardew and you pay in many, many ways.
Yeah. Pardew's been there.
Yeah.
And let's move on to Peter Crouch, who scored his 200th league goal in Stoke's 2-2 draw with Preston. Alex Neil wasn't too impressed.
He took it well, didn't he, Alex Neil? I mean, speaking of growing up, seriously, grow up.
Is he a man who looks like he would take things well? He said, I don't think Crouch changed the game. What he did was, corner comes in, he jumps up, the ball comes off his back and goes in the net. I don't think he changed the game in the slightest. He influenced the game by scoring the goal.
Well, he didn't change the game in the slightest, apart from admittedly scoring the equaliser, which really is all you can ask of.
And it ended 2-1.
Yeah.
If you did a West Brom after the equaliser, then you scored 6 goals, and people going, oh, wasn't it brilliant? Crouch came on and got that. You could say, well, hang on, well, you then went and scored 6.
Can I say,
I could understand that.
I'd have more respect for Alex Neil if he said, do you know what? I'm bloody annoyed he scored that goal. And to be honest, I'm feeling a bit petty about it. So I'm quite angry at the moment. So if you would prefer to not ask me about that, I'd like that.
Yeah, what do you think of Peter Crouch? Oh, piss off.
Yeah.
That'd have been better.
The lanky streak of piss.
There we are. But yes. Oh, Middlesbrough, top of the league, talking to Pulis.
Well, they'll be getting a Bromin on Friday, so look out.
Well, yeah, we look forward to that. Or do we? We like both clubs.
Getting a Bromin.
Getting a Bromin.
I love that. To yeah. Brom.
To Brom is to hope.
To unexpectedly to win well. To Brom.
There you go. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we shall crack open the WhatsApp group after this.
There's no doubt what I have done on Saturday after the game is disgusting.
Oh, Peter.
You got to laugh when someone spits in someone's face.
Yeah. Oh,
he said some really decent things about Newcastle over the weekend as well, so he didn't deserve that.
But I don't
label my buttons, so I could have been anything.
Could have been anything. He also wasn't... Look, I'm not defending what he did, but he was also an absolute gent when I interviewed him for Ramble Meets.
Yeah.
He was a lovely fella.
You can listen to it now. Yeah.
I don't think you can actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll get it out soon.
We will get it out. The preview show sponsored by Bet365 will be out on Thursday. That we can guarantee. How did our best better get on, Luke Moore?
Well, he bet on Newcastle.
Yeah.
So show at thefootballramble.com for the next suggestion. But we're gonna have to be careful. This is an open plea to listeners everywhere. As a group, and it is as a group, we're going to have to be careful here because we've already vetoed any Everton bet because they're bad luck in quotes. Newcastle's as well.
No.
Before we know it, we've lost 10% of the Premier League we can actually bet on.
To be fair, Kennedy did miss a penalty in the last minute of the game.
But it was both teams to score and Newcastle to win. So Newcastle needed to concede one and score two.
Right.
Looking back on it, it was mental. But you've got to go with what the listeners suggest. At thefootballramble.com with best bet in the subject line for Thursday's show, and we'll look forward to reading through them and finding one.
Love that. Love that. Now then, it's time to open the WhatsApp group.
Yes, the WhatsApp group. Every week on this show, we give you a digest of what's been rocking our butt on the old WhatsApp.
Have you got a little jingle for that?
No, I've not got a jingle. I'm waiting for the thing.
Do you want me to open? Shall I crack open with you?
That conversation is like a jingle.
Yeah.
Do you want to over jingle it? People only complain about going for gold bled.
No, the bled. I think every
going
week
for gold bled.
Every week I'm going to ask you if you've got a jingle. Yeah, yeah. And that can be the jingle.
Yeah.
Can I start as promised with a little Fort William FC update?
Of course you can.
You are, mate.
They played Inverurie Loco Works at the weekend.
Of course they did.
Lost 10-0. They genuinely lost 10-0 again.
Inverurie.
What are they doing?
Oh my goodness.
Pete,
what are they doing up there?
They lost 10-0 again at the weekend.
They get relegated? I'm talking about the system because clearly they can.
I've got a feeling that the Football League might find a way.
have you got a stadium that passes muster? Well, yeah. You're staying in.
That's it.
So basically, they've had five match days in their division, and it's been 11-1, 11-1, 6-0, 10-0, 10-0.
Yeah. Mm. The goals have dried up, haven't they?
Formentine United next Saturday. Look out next Monday for a Fort William FC update. That's floating my boat every week until they win a game.
That's right. Well, this is going to be a regular fixture then.
Yeah.
We're with you, Fort William.
What I need to do is organise a friendly against Steve McLaren's QPR.
Or the Football Ramble.
Yeah, that'll help.
Confidence boost for us.
And Pete, the other thing I had for the WhatsApp to bring to the table would be an update on Neville Southall's latest Twitter activity.
You want to air that dirty laundry, do you? Just so to speak.
Listen, you're a live broadcaster. Dance around it with a series of implications.
To be honest, we said last season that we're very proud of the way that a man advancing years has covered himself in glory in the way that he has opened his Twitter account to marginalised groups and stuff
and
like
mind,
that.
And mind.
Yeah. And he understands his own shortcomings as a man who's getting on a bit, and I wish people of his age and people of his vintage would do the exact same thing. I fear, though, he may be conflating fetish and lifestyle and life choices and just, a state of being.
Yeah.
And so,
He was trying to get people to populate his Twitter, to do a Twitter takeover. And I'm not judging it. I'm just saying it's worthy of discussion. With people
I'm saying it's not worthy.
With people who,
it's because you're scared of sex, man.
The people who like to wear adult people who like to wear nappies.
Yes.
So okay, is that what I'm scared of, Peter? Yeah. Is it?
I'm just.
Go
I'm
on,
just
on you go.
To be fair, in this conversation on the WhatsApp group, I added something much worse.
We
can't even get into.
No.
Yes,
no.
We have to censor our own chat about our own WhatsApp.
So, Marcus, what are you bringing to the table?
I think Nev is a force for good, but he misjudged that one.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think he's cool, and I think
he's cool.
If that...
He also once sued his own daughter.
Yeah. He did, I mean, he's moved on medals. From those. Yeah.
To get his medals back. I enjoyed Dr. Tony, is it Jia?
Oh, yeah.
Jia. We say Jia, I think.
Jia, who basically just tweeted, not a pleasant weekend. Aston Villa, he's, supremo.
He's pleasingly forthright, Dr. Yeah. Tony.
The doctor.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about...
I think Villa fans very much agree. Let's make that very clear.
Luke Moore was very pleased, as he should be.
With his new nappies.
Perfect Peterborough and perfect Pompey.
Yes, I'm very pleased that Portsmouth have started the season well, of course, right at the top of League One, where most people would say they belong. they've actually done a good line in scoring own goals that don't matter too much, apart from the one in the League Cup, which knocked us out.
But you have to get rid of them because they will start to matter soon.
They will, exactly. Yeah, but I'm pleased with that. Yeah,
three wins out of three, Luke Moore. Yeah. Is it going to be? Are they going to reverse up the Pompey Highway?
You can only. Oh, they shouldn't do that. They should go in the other lane. Because otherwise they're going to crash again.
Okay.
And the other thing I wanted to talk about briefly was this talk of David Moyes.
Yeah.
You like this one. Why don't you tell the listeners at the
home? Well, this talk of David Moyes emerging as one of the front runners for the USA men's national team job.
Have they got rocks in their head?
Well, that wouldn't be that bad, would it? Moyesy?
I worry about, where is it? Where are they based, though? Oh,
in America.
Come on now. Yeah. It's at 1801 South Prairie Avenue in Chicago, Illinois. So I was wondering if it was going to be like the West Coast with that skin not having it.
True.
But yeah, I'm thinking Chicago might be a pretty good choice.
Good
bet. It gets quite hot, gets quite cold as well.
I think Wayne Rooney's thinking, stop following me everywhere. Why are you following me again?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we wanted to see Big Sam, obviously, because Big Uncle Sam.
We heard from Big Sam earlier, of course.
Yeah. We did, yeah. It's unlikely now. But I think Moyes wouldn't be a bad appointment.
I bumped into Big Sam about 2 weeks ago, or was it a week ago? I'll tell you about that.
I don't think you did.
And I think...
And I'm still feeling it.
Did I tell my Big Sam story?
No, go for it. You tell yours.
Mine's
rubbish.
Big Sam story.
Mine's just that he was a lot more cheerful than I was expecting him to be.
I don't think... Did I say this on the...
You can't pull the wool off of my eyes.
With him in the car with Sammy Lee. Did I tell that on the ramble?
Just say it again.
All right.
Again, it's boring.
Did I say that? I have said it.
All right. Well, if we haven't said it, we're fucked, aren't we, Mark?
Yeah. No, I have. I have, because cameraman Sam's nodding his head. And he...
Do a real quick pricey of it for people who haven't heard that episode.
Yes.
Okay. All right, okay, fair one. Big Sam was being interviewed in the back of a car because they were in transit, and I think it was probably the only free bit of time that he could give a particular interviewer. And they weren't parked up or anything. and he's interviewing Big Sam, and Sammy Lee was in the car with his trousers off because apparently he doesn't like to wear his trousers when travelling.
I would have remembered this story. Tell
man
me.
Off, man after Pete's heart, he'd have remembered this. Definitely.
Tell me he had adult diapers on.
and it seemed that Sammy Lee's, I suppose, task in all this was to take out Werther's Originals from the packets, unwrap them and hand them to Big Sam.
Right, now... You told me that story, but you did not tell me the man he had no trousers on while he was doing it. That presents a whole different image for me.
I like the idea.
One that does not tally with the Werther's original, hard butter candy
brand
advert.
Values.
I remember when Grandad used to remove his trousers and give me his delicious butter candy.
You can imagine Big Sam saying to Sam and Lee, are you ready to unwrap my Werther's, yeah? Unwrap yourself first.
Unwrap the Lee.
Yeah.
Then unwrap the candy.
Big Sam's having his Werther's.
Oh, there we go. I'm pretty sure I've told that story, but it's worth recounting.
I don't recall that piece of information.
Tune in this time next week to hear it again, as far as I'm concerned.
There we are, ladies and gentlemen. That is the end of the Football Ramble for this week. Thank you for listening. The preview show is out on Thursday. Do not forget that. Say goodbye, Luke Moore.
I will, but just before I do, stay in touch with us on Twitter, at Football Ramble, and at The Football Ramble on Instagram for lots of behind-the-scenes business, bits and pieces. And don't forget to drop us a review wherever you get your podcasts from. It would mean a great deal to us. Thank you very much, and see you on Thursday.
Absolutely. And if you go into our social media channels, you'll see my new haircut. Say goodbye, Pete Donaldson.
Bye-bye, Marcus.
And it's goodbye from me. It's similar to the others.
Four haircuts in one.
Get your trousers off, Marcus.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus,
Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.